We have come to the time of our second Bible study today, the letter to the church at Sardis. Our brother Fred Niemeyer will provide the introductory comments, and we look to completing this study at 2:55. We again read from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So far, Brother Fred.
Well, I, on a personal basis, as I looked at these messages to the churches here in Revelation, I became more and more convinced that before these messages to have any effect on me, I needed to make this a personal message to me. And I believe that the message to the seven churches is one complete message, although the Lord speaks to them as the names Ephesus and go on. I think the Lord is speaking to me more on an individual basis if I look at it from that aspect. But I just give you a little bit of information in the history. You know, the Sardis presents a specific time period. In this letter, we have presented for us the view of the church from the Reformation down to our present day, and that was mentioned before. We've seen that the other churches, the spiritual deterioration that increased as time went on. And at the time of the Reformation, God moved through godly men to bring the church back to the, to himself as a whole, and then back to himself and to his word, to his will, and to his way, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Protestant Reformation resulted from this work of God. But the work of Satan continued in the church and was not initially reversed. We learned from the letter that the spiritual renewal given the church in the Reformation, in the Protestant Reformation, gradually declined. And the same deterioration was true in the church at Sardis. Until the Lord Jesus had to tell them, thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Now just think about that. This is a terrible indictment of the Lord to the church at Sardis. And if we were caught in that position, it would be a terrible indictment of the Lord that he would have to make to us. And it speaks to us of the spiritual deadness that was existing in that at that location. Now, if you look at verse 1, the Lord Jesus presented himself to them as the one who had the seven churches of God and the seven stars. Now, we know that the seven spirits of God speak to us of power. And then the number seven in the scripture is the is always referred to regarding completeness. This sevenfold spirit of God then would speak to us of the fullness of the power of God, a complete power, all-powerful. And just think, this power was available to them for them to make avail to them of. But they had lost the sight of this Holy Spirit power available to them. They no longer realized that it was available. And the Spirit of God was not dependent on to maintain that testimony. And the sad fact is this, that on the whole, the organized Christendom today, they have a name and they live, but they are dead. And they are spiritually dead, of no effect to the Lord. Now, unless unlike the other four churches, the Lord has no commendation here in the first verse. And I asked myself, why is this? And I believe it was because there was something very seriously wrong at Sardis. They were spiritually dead, and they were of no use to God. Now you look at that church, they had plenty of works. And just as we see in many churches today, there is much activity. Sardis, though, there was an active church. They were a dead church. And the Lord had to say to them, I have found thy works not perfect before God. Their works were not in according with God's mind. Their works did not meet God's requirement. The Lord told them to be watchful, to wake up, to be aware of the lack of the spiritual life in their midst, or else he would remove his lampstand from their midst. The Lord said, therefore, how thou hast reviewed the Lord, you have to remember, and hold fast, and they needed to repent, etc. And the Lord is never hasty in his judgment. Unless they repented, he would remove the candlestick from their midst. We read in chapter 2, verse 5. And I was reminded of Samson. And Samson in his life, and how it deteriorated to the point that he was spiritually ineffective for God. And when the power of God left Samson, he wasn't even aware of that happening to him. Now, I thank God that, if we look at this particular situation in the church of Sardis, that not all of them were characterized by what we just looked at. And if you look at verse 4, we have the words of commendation of the Lord of those that have not defiled themselves. And the Lord knows who he called them that were true to his word. And the Lord knows those that are true to him. He had a spiritual remnant, and they were faithful to him at Sardis. Now, God is still in the remnant business and always has some of them that depend on him. But, you know, as I looked at this, I asked myself some questions. He said, the Lord said he could depend on those in the remnant at Sardis, but can the Lord depend on me? Where is my personal life? Am I effective in the assembly? Can he depend on me for whatever he needs me to have done for him? And let's ask ourselves individually, how can it be more effect to maintain that which is left for us here on this earth? You know, if you look at the last verse, it's different. He who hears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But am I hearing on a personal basis what the Lord wants me to do for him? I think that's a serious question for us to answer. I purposely passed over verse 5. There is some that have difficulty with that verse. And as we look at that in a study, maybe, you know, it will take quite some time to explain what this really means. But I think one of the brothers perhaps can put it in a few words better than I can. So let's go now to our study.